Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota with a Cup of Goodness program, program number 94. This is our Sunday edition where we take a break away from what we've been talking about during the weekly program. And we're getting into Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And if we remember last Sunday, we made it as far as verse 6, but we only made it to the fifth word in that verse 6. We had stopped with the word deceive. Let no man deceive you. And we just did a word study, a simple little word study on the word deceive. And we had been over some verses that deal with being deceived. And we never got quite through them. So if we don't mind a few minutes here, let's take a time here. And let's finish up the verses that we hadn't talked about. We did the one Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And we had applied that to the modern pastors today with their good words and fair speeches. Good people that they are, good speakers, and oh, they just attract people to their congregation, to their flock, to their building, to their plant, or whatever they want to call that thing. They've got good words and fair speeches, but they're not the words of God, and they're not the rightly divided word of truth. And they've got their pizzazz. We don't have any pizzazz on this program. I've got a website. If you want to see me preach, there's videos on my website. If you want to hear me preach, there's sermons on the website. If you want to do some Bible studies, they're on the website. Been in the church building, not interested anymore, and just trying to teach the people the simplicity that's in Christ and the rightly divided word. So we don't have those things that attract to people anymore. He says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We talked about that. We talked about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. We talked about how the falling away, it's falling away from the risen Savior's teachings through Paul in the King James Bible. This Bible's been around for over 400 years, and now the world has fallen away, and the country of America is falling away, and the states are falling away, individuals are falling away. Yep, they're falling away from what God is teaching to the Gentiles. And when that's done, God will cut off the Gentile nation, go right into the tribulation. And yet, while this falling away from the risen Savior is taking place, the teachings of the Jesus teachings to the Israelites, to the Jews, seems to be growing. You know, the so-called Great Commission. The churches that are Bible-believing churches are just pumping that stuff into the ears of the people, and the ears and the people have itching ears, and that's what they want to hear. I don't understand it, because it's the severity of God that they're preaching. But that's what people want. So anyway, not to go for that sermon again here, that program. He said, there will henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We didn't get into these verses, 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I'm sure they'll like to put that on me, that I'm one of those that's deceiving and being deceived. But if that's the case, then the Word of God is not a King James Bible. Oh, wait a minute. They don't believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And you probably don't either, you listener out there. So you think I'm the one that's deceiving and being deceived. And I'm an evil man and seducing people with my doctrine. The goodness of God is a deceiving teaching. The goodness of God is being taught by an evil man and a seducer. Come on, folks. Then it's Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And in Paul's time, see, that would have been the Jews, the circumcision. So if the people are being taught Jewish teachings today, that's very applicable to these Gentiles who are following the teachings of the circumcision doctrine. Even though they're not teaching the circumcision element of it that the Jews have, they're still teaching them that law. Especially they of the circumcision, especially they of the preaching today, especially those in the churches today, unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. We could go on and on. I could repeat that stuff about deceiving, but let's just get right on. Let's keep going here. We're in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain or empty words. There's nothing to them. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, what things? We've got to review just a little bit. You go back to verse 3. Fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And what we see going on here, he lists these things that the children of disobedience are doing. This is the lost person in this world. And it says, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Well, that doesn't sound like the goodness of God. No, that's not the goodness of God. That is the wrath of God. That is the severity of God. But it's being put upon the lost people that are still dead in their sins. They have rejected their Savior. They have rejected God. They have rejected His only begotten Son. So they don't have the love of God. They don't understand the goodness of God. They reject even the judgment of God. Here's the part that I wish I had more time to do in one program here, because he says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. What people tend to think here is to hear me preach about the goodness of God. And I've got in front of me the verses again. I just wrote them down again tonight because I think of these things. You know, we realize that all things are lawful to a Christian, to them that believe. All things are lawful unto me. He says that in 1 Corinthians 6:12, 1 Corinthians 10:23. And when people hear that, they think that we justify the liberty that we have in Christ because we know what he says about where no law is, there is no transgression. You hear me preach in Romans chapter 5, sin is not imputed when there is no law. You hear me preach and teach in Romans chapter 10, verse 4, that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. You read in Romans chapter 6, we're made free from sin. Romans chapter 8, we are free from the law of sin and death. You read in Romans chapter 7, if we do something wrong as such, you know, call it sin, call it what you want, it's not us that did it, but it's the sin that dwelleth in us. Paul teaches that. So when you hear those things, there's a couple things. One, people think that we can just go do what we want. No, you know, I say this over and over. All things are lawful unto me. No doubt. That's what he says. There is no law, etc. But not all things are expedient, he reminds us. He tells us not to be brought into the power of anything. He tells us the things that we do should edify. He tells us they shouldn't be an occasion for the flesh. And they shouldn't cause someone else to stumble. And they certainly shouldn't grieve and quench the Holy Spirit. How do you know what things you can do? By looking at Paul's manner of life. Look at the things that Paul teaches to us from the risen Savior that please God. Okay, so we understand that as the believers, as the Christians, of following the risen Savior. But the lost world out there, or the religious world out there that don't have a clue about this stuff, look at us and they see us doing things that we really ought not be doing. But we have the liberty. All things are lawful. And I could go through those verses again. But see, here's where what I call the Paul guys. Now, bunny trail, there are two Paul guys out there, two Paul teachings. Devil likes to take anything truthful and mix it up, doesn't he? You've got the Paul crowd out there that preaches the joyful doctrine of God about the law and this marvelous thing about imputation and spiritual circumcision, and they spend a lot of time teaching about the word of the church to begin. They get into all this kind of stuff, you know, but they skip. They just don't talk about the walk. They don't want to talk about Titus and Timothy. That's the stuff that bothers people. Then you've got the crowd out there. This is what I call my crowd. You learn about the marvelous things of doctrine. You learn about those marvelous things that Paul taught. You learn about the marvelous New Testament doctrine that the risen Savior does. And we talk about what he has done not only for us, but to us, to get this deep understanding, this fantastic understanding, the riches of understanding, he calls it. But we also get into Timothy and Titus, and we look at the things that we ought not be doing. We look at the things that we should be doing, even though we have a spirit of liberty. We have that liberty in Christ. But we still try to teach about things. Well, you know, there's some things out there that we can do, but, you know, again, they're not expedient. We do some things that we haven't got the power to stop doing it. That's wrong. We do things that don't edify. We do things that just because our flesh wants to do it. We do things we don't really think about somebody else. We have the liberty to do this, and so we cause people to stumble when they see us doing these things. And then we got to remember that we listen to things, we go places, we do things that grieve and quench the Spirit of God. So when we get into something like in Ephesians chapter 5, see, he's very clear here. He says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Then he says, in verse 3, for example, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. There is a list of things that we shouldn't even do because we're Christians. And those things have faded away because now what I see taking place is I see all of us Bible-believing, King James-following, Paul-following Christians. More often than not, we're just using that grace of God, using that liberty of Christ, to just get along with people, do what they do, go where they go, listen to their music, do what they do. We just want to have friends. We just want to have family. And it's not about a job. Paul teaches about the job situation. That's different. But we just kind of give in to have the family. We just give in to have the stuff that still makes life just that much more comfortable. Those are my observations. But see, when you read this thing where it says in verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Most people just go, well, see, I'm not involved with any fornication. And then you stop there. Well, no. But what about uncleanness? No, I'm not that. What about covetousness? Covetousness, a strong desire of obtaining and possessing some supposed good, but usually in a bad sense, and applied to an inordinate, that's an unnatural, desire of wealth. You get an attitude, you want something so bad, you're coveting that. Well, maybe you're not a coveter, but do you ever go shopping and you buy something and you buy it on credit because you want it so badly, you pay for it next month? You're coveting, you're falling for that. And he says, let it not be once named among you. Boy, aren't we glad for God's grace? Aren't we glad for his liberty that he's given for us? Aren't we glad that he's taken care of the law? Well, some of that stuff is an occasion for the flesh. Some of that stuff is going to cause someone to stumble. Grieves and quenches the Spirit of God. Is it expedient? Does it edify? Well, and besides that, look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. Well, come on. How many of us jest? Just kidding. You'll say something, then you'll say, oh, just kidding. That's jesting, you know. But rather, giving of thanks. Now, verse 5. Well, this can't be you. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, we know, again, that's not us because of what Christ did towards the law, what Christ did because of the spirit of liberty, because of God's grace. But yet, Paul goes on and he still teaches us, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Because those are the things that the lost world is doing. And there's bigger lists in different places. Galatians, you know, the flesh, the works of the flesh kind of stuff. There's all sorts of things in there. But see, we're not part of that crowd. And he says, let it not be once named among you. Well, I'd have to say that I bet you many of us out there have at least once been named some of that stuff. If nothing else, covetousness, you're probably a clean person. You're probably not a whoremonger. You don't think you're an idolater. You don't, you know, that kind of, well, a little foolish talking here and there. A little jesting here and there. See? Well, anyway, that's the lost world's problem. But somebody who is a Christian, following the risen Savior, King James Bible, loves the doctrine of Paul, has got to look at their walk. They still have to look at that walk. For we are his workmanship, Paul says in Ephesians 2, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's always wanted his people, his Christians now, the Gentiles, Christians, to walk in good works. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And then he describes it when he says, in the vanity of their mind. And how many Paul-following Christian King James guys, rightly dividing the word of truth, you know, my web family, we've got a lot of people that have listened to this over the years. How are you doing here? He says in Colossians 1:10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you reading? Are you learning about God? Are you reading that Bible every day? Or are you just looking for preachers that preach the good thing about Paul? You want to hear good preaching about the King James Bible? Well, that's fine, but you know what? You got to get past that one of these days. You've got to get by these guys. You've got to narrow down who's preaching about Paul. Then you got to stick to it, and you got to look to it and listen and follow. Check your walk and then change it if you need to. That's what he says, increasing in the knowledge of God, being fruitful in every good work. He says in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, he says. So those are some pretty tough things, really, to think about of what I'm talking about here this evening. Sorry, I know it's Sunday morning for you, but it is 12:35 Saturday night. Well, actually, 12:35 Sunday morning for me here, too. And see, here's some practical application here. He says in verse 8, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Well, yeah, we were. But see, no longer are we. He says, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So when he says something like proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, do you do that? What is acceptable unto the Lord? What it is that Paul preaches. What it is that Paul teaches. Timothy and Titus, especially Timothy and Titus. We're looking right here in Ephesians chapter 5. He's getting into the specific things that we ought not be doing. Fornication, well, we don't get into the fornication thing. Uncleanness, covetousness, well, you know. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance. Well, see, we aren't those because he's wiped that slate clean. We are not those. But it says, let it not be once named among you. Shouldn't still be taking place. Even though it's not you that's doing it, it's the sin that dwelleth in you, Paul says in Romans 7. So this walk, we are not to partake with those people in verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. And I'll give you another big one here pretty quickly here. It's just a very, very surprising one about who we're not supposed to fellowship with. We'll talk about that one of these days. So he says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Okay. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them? Sure, reprove them. Don't just ignore it. Something's still supposed to be said. And we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And I'd have to be the first one to say, this is a tough era. This is a tough age. This is a tough life. Because the world is so powerful, so strong, so many techie things, so many neat inventions, so many fun things to do. Remember we talked about in Isaiah, America has a massive amount of idleness. So we get ourselves involved with this. We get ourselves involved with that. I know enough about schools that parents are very seldom ever home at night again, ever, with their family. And what are they doing? Lots of times they're doing the unfruitful works of darkness, and many times we're fellowshipping right along with them. It says in verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We're not even supposed to be talking about that stuff. You know, I remember when the newscasters had to start talking about some things that were taking place in the news that they wouldn't talk about before. At least they wouldn't use the exact words. Now the newscast can be just as embarrassing and dirty-minded or shameless newscasting about things that are going on. We're talking all the time in this world about things that the perverted lifestyle crowd is doing. It's become common nature. It's everywhere. It's in public radio. It's in, I just won't even go down through the thing. And they talk about it all the time. People go and stand in front of them and preach while they're even doing their perversions. And it says right here, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let's see. Let's keep going here. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. That's Paul's mission. That is Paul's ministry. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly. Here we go. It's not an archaic word. Just look it up and learn a word and add it to your vocabulary. Circumspectly. Cautiously. With watchfulness every way. With attention to guard against surprise or danger. See, he tells us as Christians not to fellowship with the world that's out there. Unfruitful works of darkness. We are light in the Lord. We should walk as children of light. And he tells us to walk circumspectly. Walk cautiously. What is going around? Look around. Look behind you. Look around the corners. Remember, they lie in wait to deceive. So as you're going through these sermons on Paddle Talk, as you're going through these guys on YouTube, and as you're going from church to church to church to try to find something, you know, and you're going around with different people, are you strong enough to stand on the truth? Are you following the scriptures? Can you prove what is acceptable unto the Lord? Should you be doing that stuff? Are you actually fellowshipping with them? Are you talking about this wicked stuff that's going on? Are you speaking of those things which are done of them in secret? See then that you walk circumspectly. That's what he's telling us to do. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we'll stop there, but I want to mention something else. As I'm talking about these things, I see the different, I don't know how to put it, avenues of Christianity. You know, I see the severity Christian that's being taught, you better do this or God will get you. It's kind of like a Santa Claus thing. You better watch out. You better not pout. You better not cry. I'm telling you why. Jesus is coming one of these days and he's going to get you. You know, that kind of a thing. Check who's naughty or nice, that whole thing. Then you've got the truth about God going to the Gentiles to the goodness of God. Then you see that being tweaked by different Paul guys that are trying to do something different. They're trying to stay away from that Christian walk that we've been created to do. And lots of times we're hindered. Lots of times we don't have it in us anymore. We're worn out, we're tired like Jeremiah was. And this is a pretty wicked world we're living in. It's just before the son of perdition. It's just before the Antichrist. It's just before the devil himself comes down here and runs the ship. So we know that everybody's getting ready for this guy. Well, yeah, that it's like he says right here, more than even in Paul's day, where he says here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'm 64 years old, which is not terribly old compared to some folks that I know. But I don't have as much time as I thought I did when I was 25 and 30, which I thought like it was just the other day. But to redeem the time doing what? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and trying my hardest, you know. I've got his grace. When I mess up, get up and keep going. That's the purpose of the grace of God, to help us learn to walk. And when we fall down, get up again. He's not going to spank you for it. He's got his love for you. He'll just help you keep going. He's not even going to remember what you did wrong. That comes at the judgment seat of Christ later, and that will be judged, but not you. So as I started this program here tonight, I just kept thinking of the things that are going on in our country. And boy, down in Texas, you guys are really getting the brunt of things down there. We recognize the fact we have a government now that creates crises and then tries to control the people because of the very crises that they created. See, you've got the Ebola thing down there. Well, in California, they've got a meningitis problem. And that's just as contagious as Ebola, and people are dying from that thing. But the government hasn't turned that into a national crisis yet. The Ebola thing is easier to expand and expound upon, you know. And I know down there that you're having troubles with the preachers. They're being told by the mayor of Houston, I think it is, to turn in their sermons because they're preaching against homosexuality. That's going to blow up into a big thing. What that's going to do is that's going to bring all the preachers together, even the King James guys, even some of those Paul guys are going to be together because we don't want the government to tell us what to do. But see, this is the result of preaching the severity of God. This is the result of preaching a gospel where if you don't do this, God will get you. This is a result of preaching to those people, you better stop doing that perversion or, you know, kind of a thing. And yes, those things are wrong. No doubt, scripturally, but they're not putting forth the goodness of God. It's the goodness of God that we get those people to stop doing those things. Not the severity, not the threat. The pastors have taught people to hate the goodness of God. So people not only hate the judgment of God, they hate the goodness of God too. Romans chapter 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. He's not talking to Christians, he's talking to the world out there, the lost world. Whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. So they get mad at the preachers who are preaching to them, and yet they're preaching back at the preachers. Do we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things? And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, you know what it is? We have come so far with mixed up preaching, mixed up false gospel, and people, they just hate God. It's pure. They just hate God. They hate the judgment of God. They hate the severity of God. And they hate the goodness of God. They hate the King James Bible. They hate all the other Bibles. The music they can put up with because the music feeds their flesh. But they hate everything. You know what? They hate God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. Then we'll be done today. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. If they would just realize the goodness of God. And I've got 93 programs talk about the goodness of God. And yet the pastors fight it. The people fight it. We talk about the joy of a King James Bible. If you hate the King James Bible, it's because you've been taught something from a different dispensation, and they throw it at your face, and so as a result, you hate the King James Bible. But you're right to divide that thing. The goodness of God is absolutely beyond fathoming as humans down here. You know, really, it's the goodness of God. And if this country had been taught the goodness of God for all these years, especially these last 100, and even more especially these last 50, and voila, the last 25, they would change their ways, not because God's going to get them, but because what the risen Savior has done. So this mayor and all these people are going against these preachers, and these preachers are going to ecumenicalize and gather together their war, and it wouldn't have even happened in the first place if they'd have been preaching the goodness of God. I just believe that without a shadow of a doubt. So we're looking here in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll continue this next Sunday. You know, these are things that God expects out of his Christians, but it's because he gives us the grace to learn how to do them. He gives us the grace to have that patience ourselves. He gives us the grace for us to have grace. But he does tell us, listen, you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, and that King James Bible is the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. See, these preacher guys think they're the light. Well, no, the King James Bible, and they snuffed out that light years ago. So, Christian out there, see then that you walk circumspectly, cautiously. Keep your eyes open. Redeem the time. The days are evil. And get that King James Bible. Open that thing up and start reading about the risen Savior through Paul. We'll talk to you folks on Monday. We'll get back into how Jeremiah described what things were going on in his life.